Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grounded, supported, and ready to grow. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Whether it's your first time in therapy or your 50th, Grow makes it easier to find a therapist who fits you, not the other way around. They connect you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights, and weekends. You can search by what matters, like insurance, specialty, identity, or availability, to get started in as little as 2 days. And if something comes up, you can cancel up to 24 hours in advance at no cost. There are no subscriptions and no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow helps you find therapy on your time. Whatever challenges you're facing, Grow Therapy is here to help. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid, in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/get started today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/get started. growtherapy.com/get started. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
Day one. The end of summer is the rainy season in my small town. The river gets high, and the leaves in the trees turn a deep green. Down the river is a small wooden hut. The people of my town wait in horror for the smoke to rise from its chimney. Maybe it occurs in every July or the end of September, but when we see the smoke rising from the trees, we know that the riverman has come down from the mountain to his home by the water. Little is known about the Riverman. We know that he spends most of his time up in the mountains, but nobody knows where. Some have run into him when they have hiked deep into the wilderness, but his residential whereabouts remain unknown. When his chimney smoke turns from gray to green, all that is known is that you don't want to be caught out on the streets that night. My small town sits next to the river in the valley between two main ranges. Its population is no more than 500 people. On the day that the smoke turns green, chaos erupts down the small main street. People frantically board up their windows and reinforce their doors. They remove anything valuable from the streets and bring it into their home. The gas station closes early. By the time the sun is set, not a soul remains outdoors. The streets are quiet. Sometimes the crying begins soon after dark, and sometimes it starts in the early hours of the morning, but it always comes. It starts as a low moaning sound in the distance, like the soft hum of a bumblebee. But soon, that murmur comes closer and sounds less like moaning and more like the cries of agony. These cries are inhuman, like a soul trapped in a rubber body. When the footsteps can be heard, you can know that the faceless parade is right outside the door. On the windows and doors, the knocking begins. The cries of agony almost start to sound like human words when there is only a wall protecting you from what is outside. Often, we can hear the sound of breaking glass as car windows are broken. A cacophony of chaos terrorizes this poor, powerless town. This moment of mayhem is only temporary, for soon the horrible parade fades into the night. The sun rises the following morning, and it is all over. The town is trashed, but the riverman's smoke no longer rises from the trees. We all leave our homes, assured that we are safe until this happens again next year. This year I decided that I was tired of this abuse. The riverman comes through and destroys our streets every year, and I want to find out who he was and what sort of beasts he lets ravage our town. I have pestered the town elders for years, but they always give me the same answer. We must not interfere with the riverman, they say. He does what he does, and we don't stop him from that. Well, I'm not going to let this generation take his abuse any longer. Tonight will be the end of the Riverman's torments. Today, the Riverman's smoke turned from gray to green. Everybody is panicking. Now is the time for me to figure out what the Riverman is up to, once and for all. If I can stop him, I will. I don't know how yet, but I at least need to see what is brought through town before creating any defense plan. All I want to do is save my town. I will bring you an update tomorrow. Day 2. I don't know how to explain what I saw last night. My very perception of the physical world has been altered, and I am unsure if I can trust reality from this point forward. I suppose I must start from the beginning. In the early afternoon, I traveled to the Riverman's cabin. It was about a 45-minute walk from the town through the thick brush of the forest. Nobody ever ventured this far away from home in this direction, so I had no idea what to expect. There was a large cliff overlooking the riverfront property, so I climbed it to get a view. I stayed under a tree to avoid the light patter of rain. The first thing I spotted was the cottage itself. It was small, no larger than one or two rooms. To the back of the house was a large chimney from where the green flames emanated. Next to the cottage was a large, cleared field that bordered the thick brush of trees. There were stakes in the ground across the area, but I couldn't identify what had been planted. All of a sudden, he appeared. The Riverman was old. A long gray beard covered his face, and his hair was mostly gone. He had a large frame and looked quite muscular, despite his distinguished years. A loose-fitting white tunic hung from his body, and his pants were dirty brown slacks. He wore brown sandals and walked with a sort of limp. There was something I liked about the Riverman. He was a stoic man who had a meditative quality about him. I watched him for a while. Each movement he made was deliberate and calculated. Tied around his waist was a sack of white powder that he sprinkled around the field. He sometimes pulled his shovel from his waist and dug something from around the garden. I needed to see what he was growing, so I decided to wait for the cover of night to further approach the field. The afternoon continued, and the Riverman sprinkled all sorts of powders and liquids over the field. The rain picked up as the sun began to set. I crept down from my hiding perch on the hill and slowly approached the cottage. It was dark, but it was apparent that there was a pair of something sticking out of the ground next to each stake. I couldn't believe my eyes when I finally saw what they were. What looked like human feet were sticking out of the dirt in front of each stake. Some were fresher than others, yet I couldn't detect a putrid smell. While some appeared to be rotting, the entire field smelled like fresh flowers. I saw the Riverman from afar. He continued to walk around the field and spread the bizarre mix of items on the grass. I watched him until the twilight turned into the deep night. It was around midnight when he entered the cottage. 10 minutes later, he came back outside, wearing what looked like the garb of a Catholic bishop. He had on a white robe with a tall hat. In one hand, he clutched a sizable golden staff, and in the other, he held laminated sheets of paper. Slowly, he walked out in the middle of the death field, holding the golden staff in his hand. I watched in awe as he stood there. A deep look of determination came across his face.
"Zuko, ma porta," said the Riverman.
His chant was a deep, booming voice. He shouted lines of incoherent chanting for a moment. As he chanted, a faint glow began to emerge from the staff. It started as a dim luminance, but grew into a bright light that almost blinded me. Suddenly, he held the staff high above his head and planted it onto the ground. The light spread through the field, causing the wooden stakes to burn into flames. I averted my eyes. Great energy hit me in my hiding space, causing me to roll back to the ground. I lost consciousness. When I finally came to, I looked up to the field to find that it was empty. Where the human legs had been planted, there was nothing but deep holes in the ground. I stood up as quickly as I could and ran in the direction of the town. I had to stop him before he ravaged my home once again. But with whatever power he possessed, there was probably little I could do. In the distance, I heard that all-too-familiar moaning. It was more terrifying, considering that I was out in the open, and I didn't have the protection of my family home. The cries of agony penetrated my eardrums, and they were so horrible that I had to hold my tongue to stop myself from participating. Whatever the Riverman had planted, it was in terrible pain. I didn't know whether to feel fear, terror, or both. I quickened my pace and made my way back to town, the cries of agony loudening by the minute. I steered far to the mountainside, trying to stay as far away from the Riverman and the faceless horde as I could. Their pace was slow, and due to their cries, I could tell when I passed them. I was nearly out of breath by the time I arrived in town. The town was so dark. Usually, I was inside on the night the Riverman traveled through the town. Being outside, the town looked abandoned. It seemed like nothing had ever lived there. The cries were close, so I had to act fast.
Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grounded, supported, and ready to grow. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Whether it's your first time in therapy or your 50th, Grow makes it easier to find a therapist who fits you, not the other way around. They connect you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights, and weekends. You can search by what matters, like insurance, specialty, identity, or availability, to get started in as little as 2 days. And if something comes up, you can cancel up to 24 hours in advance at no cost. There are no subscriptions and no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow helps you find therapy on your time. Whatever challenges you're facing, Grow Therapy is here to help. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid, in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/get started today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/get started. growtherapy.com/get started. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
I looked behind me and saw the light in the distance. I had to think quickly, so I ran to one of the old rock formations near the outskirts of town. I had a good view of the road, and I waited. Soon, the light was very bright, and the cries were deafening. The Riverman stepped into the clearing, holding the bright light above his head. Behind him, a dark silhouette stumbled out from the trees. From where I was hiding, it was nothing but a dark humanoid figure. But when it walked, it was clear that it was not a living being. It stepped as if it were a marionette, with long strides and abnormal arm movement. The way it moved made it look like an exterior force was animating it, and its muscles and bones were simply being dragged along. The sight of it made my skin crawl, and I nearly ran in the opposite direction when others came into view. They all walked as if they were a part of a demonic ballroom show. I knew that if I was to save the town, I needed to get a closer look. I waited for a long time for the hordes to enter the town so that I could get behind them and observe these creatures up close. I followed them, keeping my distance. When it was safe, I left my rocky refuge and snuck to the outskirts of town. I could tell that these creatures had once been humans. Their bodies were still composed of flesh and bones, but these were just shells for a more profound force. Ragged clothes hung from their body. I looked at one from afar and noticed that its eyes glowed the same color as the Riverman's staff. It was not alive at all. It was one of the Riverman's puppets. It was clear that the Riverman did not have perfect control of these creatures. They didn't walk in a straight line. Instead, they moved around town, banging into the buildings and cars. I saw one trying to claw through a boarded-up window, and another trying to break down a door. There was one emotion driving these beings. Malice. They had no drive other than to kill. By the time they had left town, the town was a mess, as always. Some car windows had been smashed in, and debris covered the streets. I knew that the only thing I could do was follow to see where they were going. The riverman kept forward, walking past the town up to the direction of a tall mountain. Keeping my distance, I followed the moans. We hiked deep into the woods, until the land began to elevate. It was clear that our destination was the top of the mountain. I struggled to keep my footing as we ascended. The rain fell upon my face as I climbed on all fours, trying to follow them to the peak. The ground turned from dirt to stone, and I soon spotted the horde in the distance. Instead of climbing, the riverman had rounded them up on a flat area adjacent to a cave. I continued to climb, trying to understand what he was doing now. I noticed something odd about the cave. The dark shadow of the cave opening was not affected by the bright light of the staff. It was as if the darkness inside were a thick black substance that no light could penetrate. Once the creatures had been rounded up, the riverman chanted more incoherent verses. He lifted the staff above his head and slowly lowered it, touching it against the strange darkness of the cave opening. The light from his torch turned from a yellow glow to a bluer glow, and the creature's eyes changed to that color as well. Suddenly, the cave's opening turned from a deep black to a pale blue glow. It appeared as if a plasma substance had filled the hole, and various blue shades swirled like a river. One by one, the riverman directed the creatures into the cave, and as they crossed the threshold of the cave entrance, they disappeared behind the wall of the blue substance. I crawled to a rock cover near the flat. I was near the top when I saw the riverman direct the last creature into the hole. I thought that it was safe when he turned around and looked at me. I was spotted.
"Do you want to come in with me?"
he asked. I gulped.
"I know you've been watching me all day, and I know what you're probably thinking."
He had a warm smile on his face.
"Why don't you come in with me, and I can show you why I am doing this."
I had no choice but to trust him. With the powers he possessed, I had no idea what sorts of things he could do to me if I defied his instructions. Slowly, I stood up and walked in his direction. I didn't say a word, but simply followed his orders.
"There's no need to be scared," he said. "I have this under control. What you will see on the other side may look menacing, but I assure you I have fought many of these before, and there is no reason why I should fail this time."
He winked at me, and then walked into the portal, disappearing into the plasma-looking substance. I stood there, terrified. I wondered what was on the other side of this portal. With a great leap of faith, I walked to the doorway. Going through the portal was an odd sensation, but not uncomfortable. It felt like I was walking through a waterfall, but the water was coming from all directions. Also, it didn't feel like water, but more like a silky substance, almost reminiscent of wool. When I emerged from the other side, I was inside a bubble. The riverman stood there, chewing on what looked like a glowing carrot. All around us was an incredible landscape, utterly alien to anything I had ever encountered.
"You stay here," he said. "I want you to observe me, so that you can learn how to do this yourself."
"Sorry that I..." He cut me off, and turned in the other direction.
"You are about to see a lurker, a terrifying creature."
His horrid parade was all too clear to me now. Their skins were no longer the color of rot. They were now the same blue that glowed from his torch. He bit off the rest of the glowing carrot, and his skin began to turn blue as well. he walked through the exterior of the bubble and joined the parade. As I looked around me, the world we were in began to resemble our own, except it looked like a demon had tried to recreate our own world from a tortured soul's memory. It was a landscape very similar to a valley, except the colors were all mismatched. Colors appeared to me that I didn't even know my mind could comprehend. The sky was filled with what looked like clouds, but they were Euclidean geometric shapes. The trees looked like wax flagpoles, and the grass looked like foam. The riverman stood outside the bubble and waited. The creatures were in a better formation now, and they waited for something. Time moved strangely in this place, and I wasn't sure if a minute or 5 hours had passed, but in the distance, it came into view. A black creature with lengthy appendages came into view. The lurker was at least 30 feet tall and walked on all fours. The majority of its body was the 4 long legs that strode forward. Its face was a massive white oval, with 3 black holes comprising its 2 eyes and mouth. Its features were the reverse of what was beautiful in our world. It was a parody of the human face, a mockery. It strode closer, and the riverman called out. I didn't know what he was saying, but I could tell he was calling his parade into positions. Obscure words came from his mouth, and his horde of creatures began running in the direction of the beast. They all formed into an arrowhead running formation. The creature recoiled, preparing for battle. Suddenly, the riverman banged his staff against the ground, and 2 of his creatures jumped up in the air and landed on the lurker. They began gnawing on its arms close to the joints, as if struggling to shake them. 2 others jumped and started munching on the lurker's hind legs, while 4 of the riverman's creatures began gnawing on each foot. More of the riverman's creatures took their place. The lurker lifted 1 of its legs off the ground and squashed 7 creatures under its foot. Back and forth, the creatures battled the lurker for dominance, until 1 of the lurker's legs had been thoroughly chewed through and fell to the ground. It let out a massive scream. The scream sounded as if an elephant had ingested helium. It was angrier now and began to struggle further. It thrashed around, stepping on and puncturing many of the riverman's creatures. I looked over at the riverman and saw his face turn pale.
Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grounded, supported, and ready to grow. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Whether it's your first time in therapy or your 50th, Grow makes it easier to find a therapist who fits you, not the other way around. They connect you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights, and weekends. You can search by what matters, like insurance, specialty, identity, or availability, to get started in as little as 2 days. And if something comes up, you can cancel up to 24 hours in advance at no cost. There are no subscriptions and no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow helps you find therapy on your time. Whatever challenges you're facing, Grow Therapy is here to help. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid, in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/get started today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/get started. growtherapy.com/get started. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
He then grabbed something from his sack. It was a small, silver, circular device. 7 round holes were near the top to allow for a substance to be poured in. He filled these with a green powder and then said some words into it. Suddenly, a tremendous green smoke began to emanate from the ball, and he ran into the direction of the lurker. With all his might, he threw the silver ball in its direction, with the ball landing directly below the lurker's face. The smoke covered its face, and the creature began to wobble. Then, the riverman joined several of his creatures, taking his staff and jabbing it into another leg. With that, the lurker lost its stability and fell to the ground. It was over. The riverman sat down on all fours. He waved his staff, and the blue light dimmed. As the light dimmed, his creatures turned into dust. He rested for a while, then stood up and walked in my direction.
"I'm getting too old for this," he said, as he entered the bubble. His skin returns to a normal color. "I don't have much time left, and we have been looking for someone to fill my slot. We at the Society have had our eyes on you for quite some time."
I stood there, flabbergasted. "You want to recruit me? To do what?"
"We live in only one of many universes."
He rested his arms on his staff.
"Our universe is rich with a substance called consciousness. Consciousness is very precious in the expanse of multiple universes."
He paused for a moment to rub his eyes.
"Often the fabric separating this universe from others is ripped. Beings from other universes, such as lurkers, try to enter our universe and consume consciousness. I work for a secret society, the Society of Mordor, and we protect our little world from these beings who want to feed on our very existence."
I couldn't think of any words to say.
"I think that you will be a good candidate."
He reached out his hands to me in a gesture of friendship. Day 3. I write this to you from the riverman's house by the water. He is preparing me to go on a several-month voyage with him into other dimensions and universes to save humanity. I know now that the lurker is nothing compared to the even more horrid beings trying to destroy our world. He tells me of unfathomable creatures and worlds that he and I will face as we protect humanity from the eternal threat. I feel silly now, thinking that the riverman was evil. But our town was simply the only way to get from his zombie farm to the portal. He was protecting us from true evil. I now know that to save the town and everybody that I loved, I must join the Riverman and his cause. This may be the last time you hear from me, but I wanted to share my story before dropping off the grid forever. I have to admit, I didn't realize saving the town would be so horrifying, but I know this must be done. Please, wish me luck.
It's time to get organized this new year with Menards. Update your closet system and add style today with Closet Culture. Choose from 2 closet finishes and 4 colors of shelf boards to create a functional yet stylish closet solution that matches your home decor. Check out all our Closet Culture closet kits or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com to see all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.